Luke 21, 5 to 19. When some are speaking about the temple and how it is adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, and all will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? What will be the sign that this will take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near, but don't go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Sorry. Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in many places, famines and plague, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and the prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So do not make up your minds not to be prepared your defense in advance, for I will give you words, a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God."
How does that scripture make you feel? What's that? Like today? Feels like what's going on today? How does it make you feel? Kind of down. What? Afraid. Hopeless. Anybody else? I'm always split when I hear scriptures like this, because on the one hand, I appreciate knowing that when we hit those times where it feels like I don't understand how God can be in control and the things that are happening right now could possibly be happening. And now is not the only time I've felt that way in my life. There are times when I feel that way and I think, I don't understand, right? It is nice to be reminded that we're not the only ones who have thought that way, and that God, in fact, has recognized the fact that, and has told us that this will happen, that there are moments where hardship will happen, and that is not beyond God's plan. God is not unaware. It doesn't mean that we are no longer on a path towards something better. I appreciate that, but it is hard to hear this word that says essentially, things are going to be bad. That is not a good news message that's going to pack the pews on a Sunday morning. That's far from the prosperity gospel that some churches might preach, right? But it is a gospel message that has endured for 2,000 years. Why? Because it's honest. Because we have seen hard times before in our world, and if we pretended as though we hadn't, or if we pretended as though they were only going to come once, and then, well, Jesus is coming back as soon as this is over, right? That message would never have lasted past the first trials and tribulations the world had ever endured beyond Jesus. We're not the first to face struggles. We won't be the last. God is not unaware, and God is not absent from us. It's a mixed message, much like life. Another question for you. Do you have, warning signs for yourself when you are feeling particularly stressed? Like things that you know, like maybe patterns or behaviors that you know, okay, wait a second, time out. That's not me being my best self. This is because I'm dealing, I must be not dealing with stress. Is that, do you have those? Yeah? Yeah? For me, one of the things is not sleeping well. I never sleep particularly well, but I get even less sleep when I know when I'm in a particularly stressful time. The other is I notice that when I'm up at like 4 in the morning, 3:30 or 4 in the morning, and I'm getting ready because I can't go back to sleep, and I'm, you know, in the shower or something, I start having arguments with people in my head, right? Like folks that I think I might get in an argument with at some point down the road, or maybe rehashing an argument I had earlier in the week or something like that. Sort of having arguments with them in my head, maybe trying to predict what's gonna happen. How do I want this to go? Or how do I think this might go? How do I make sure that I say what I wanna say or come out on? Absolutely ridiculous, right? Am I the only one who does that?
Nope.
Thank you. Whether it's true or not, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Why? Why do we do that? Because we want to be in control. See, Gloria, that's exactly where I was going. I didn't expect you to get there right away. Thank you. That is the good. Yeah, I think that's right. I think she's right. I think it's because when we're in times of stress, particularly stressful times, we want to control whatever we can. And when we recognize that we can't control the world around us, we start to create worlds inside our heads that we can control. It makes sense that when the disciples are for maybe many of them for the first time standing at the temple in Jerusalem, this sign of God's power on earth, right? This human-made symbol of God's power on earth, and they're marveling over this. Look how amazing this place is. Look how richly adorned it is. And Jesus, not wanting them to be distracted by the earthly things, even the earthly things that are dedicated to God, right? Anytime you create something physical and you confuse it for God, it becomes a what? An idol, that's right. It doesn't have to be made out of gold or in the shape of a calf. Anytime you take a physical thing and you mistake it for God, it becomes an idol. So Jesus doesn't like tear them down for it, but he says, there will come a time when not one brick of this temple will be left standing on top of another. And you can imagine how that might shake them to their core. For them, this is where God lives. This must mean the end of everything. So what do they want? To know when. Tell us something that will at least let us know how to predict this, how to prepare for it, right? And we do the same thing. 2,000 years later, we do the same thing. We read scriptures like this, or Revelation, or Daniel, or these other apocalyptic texts, and we want to extract from them, what are the signs? How can we tell? How will we know when the end is coming? But Jesus specifically says, he doesn't answer their question, does he? They say, when? And he says, beware, some will come claiming to come in my name, and they will tell you when. But it's not true. And then he goes on to give us signs. You're going to see things that are going to feel like the end of the world. Wars, insurrections, terrible things. And the end will not follow immediately after. Even those aren't signs, right? He says, you don't get to know. You don't get to know. So stop trying. Now, is it because Jesus is basically saying, I know, it's human nature. You want to feel like you're in control of something. And so I'm not going to let you. Does Jesus not want us to be comfortable? Do you think that's what it is? Good, I agree. So why then would Jesus keep ripping off that safety blanket, that desire to have some control, something where you can feel like, at least I know this, at least I can control this? So we have work to do before we get there. What were we gonna say? Faith, I think it's this idea of Jesus. It's not that Jesus doesn't want us to have hope. It's that Jesus doesn't want us to have false hope or hope in the wrong things. If we have our hope in our ability to control anything, man, are we going to be disappointed. We live in a world that tells us, right, that there are ways we can protect ourselves from the things that might happen, right? If you just have enough money for a rainy day, right? You need a rainy day fund. You need to make sure you've got enough just in case. There is no amount of money that will take care of all of the just in cases. If you're just healthy enough, then you'll be okay. Except it doesn't matter how healthy you are, eventually you're going to die from something, right? If you can defend yourself, it doesn't matter. Eventually there's somebody who's bigger or stronger. Have you ever seen the show? Do you remember the show Preppers? It was about a decade ago. And again, this is like last week when I was talking about Office Space. This is not a recommendation. All right? Preppers was a show about people who were preparing for some huge tragedy to happen in the world. And they were all over the board. The preppers all thought different things were going to happen. Some thought there was going to be like an economic meltdown, and so like all supply lines were going to fail, and food security, there'd be food insecurity across the globe. Others thought there would be like an invasion, some foreign force is going to invade and you have to, or there's going to be some natural disaster. Whatever. But they all were convinced that something was going to happen and they needed to be prepared. And so they had committed their lives to creating these bunkers or these plans or living off the grid. And they were dedicated all kinds of money and time and pulled their families into, like there were, this was their world. And the show would go through and show all the things that they had done. Pardon me. And then at the end, it would like grade them on the scale to say like, okay, you've done a really good job with this, but if the crisis is actually this other thing, you're in trouble. Like there's, you've prepared for food, but if the crisis is an invading army, you've got no way to defend yourself or whatever the thing is. And my big takeaway from this was there is no way to be prepared for all the possibilities. Right? You can live in fear, but you cannot be prepared for everything that might possibly happen. So Jesus, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, hard times are going to come, but don't spend your time preparing for them, preparing what you'll say when they bring you up on charges, when they arrest you. Don't prepare your defense in advance. Trust that the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in the moment. It says, when all of these things happen, you will have an opportunity to testify. In other words, when the world around us that is supposed to make sense, keep us safe, create some sort of civilization in the midst of chaos, falls apart because things fall apart, the center cannot hold. When everything falls apart and people are looking for answers, you will have an opportunity to say, there is something that will never leave you. There is a hope that cannot be taken from you. And it is not the hope, I know this ends with, but not a hair of your head will perish. That happens about one line after Jesus says, some of you will be put to death. It seems confusing. But Jesus is reminding us, by your endurance, you will gain your souls. When you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in the moment, you will find life that is truly worth living. And that cannot be taken from you. We spend so much time obsessed with the longevity of life, when really so many of us toward the end of our life wonder, did we ever really live in a way that was worth living? And Jesus says, there is a life worth living. You just have to be open to what God is doing right here and right now. Let the Spirit guide you in the moment. You have to let go of what might be because you don't know. But God will give you everything you need in this moment to live a life worth living. And then, yes, you may die. In fact, eventually, we all will. But not a hair on your head, not a bit of the work that you've done will be made worthless. None of it will pass away because you are connected to all those who have come before you and all that will come after in this great cycle of life. That's the hope that we can hang on to. And it's not that we don't work in this moment to make life better. That's the whole point. We make life better. And then when that falls apart, when we can't, when we go to feed people and they're still hungry the next day and we've run out of food, folks, we showed up and we reminded them that they were worth something. And then together we can do the work tomorrow, right? But today we do the work that's in front of us now, that the Holy Spirit is guiding us to now, and we trust that God will give us today our daily bread. May we all find the faith we need to embrace life abundant today. Amen.